So you know those friends that's on the WhatsApp group. So you are free to join our uncluttered WhatsApp group. And if you are one of those people who sends all those pictures, you are very mad at me right now. But that's also okay because there's forgiveness in the kingdom. Amen. Oh, this morning, let me just pray. And I'm looking forward to this morning. Thank you, Lord, for family time. Thank you for rain. Thank you for winter, Lord, all the seasons that you put together just as you please. And in a similar way, Lord, you have assembled a message for us this morning to be fed into our congregation, to bring health to us in the same way, Lord, that you bring the seasons, each one at its time. And so you feed each one of us also with the nourishment and the health we need, Lord, in a timely manner. And through the scriptures this morning and the meditations of our heart, I pray that you will do exactly that this morning. And that is meet each and every one where they are. In a way, Lord, that their heart will understand. That each and every one here will, in a plain way, know what you are whispering to them in their life regarding, you know, what's happening in their lives right now with their children, with their parents, with their siblings, at work, or just internally. Thank you that you are present with us and near in a very personal way. And so this morning, Lord, continue a work in each and every heart. And everyone said, amen. I want to talk this morning a little bit about hearing God's voice. Who's excited about that? Yes. After this morning, I really feel on my heart that we all should be Blue Bulls supporters. Can we agree on that, everyone? Is that not a word from the Lord? That's not a, we don't have agreement in the house. The storm is now. Now let's go deeper. Let's go deeper. If God wills, then I will spend 2 weeks on this. There might be a different message in between. But I really just thought on sharing around this. I remember in Secunda, where we planted the congregation, we were a young and growing congregation. And every year, we had a few weeks on this. Because every year there were new people, amen? And so it's very important. We wanted to just take people through this important topic in the doctrine of God who speaks and us who can hear, and how do we weigh what we hear on our hearts and when we read difficult passages, how do we bring it into our life? And so let's start this morning. There's no way that I can touch on everything in this topic, but let's start somewhere. Hearing God's voice. By the way, it's one of the most frequently asked questions for new believers. How do I know this is you, Lord? Is this you? Is this me? Is this the devil? Is this my circumstances? Let's see if we can shed a light on some of those questions. The sheep hears his voice. This is Jesus speaking in John 10. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them. And the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. This scripture has a lot for us to take when it comes to hearing God's voice. It speaks on some of the dynamics between the shepherd and the sheep. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Look at what is not explicitly said here. When Jesus, the shepherd, leads his people, he's not going behind them with a rod. He is moving in front of them, and they come because of his voice, not his rod. Hey, there's a place for discipline in the gospel. We know God disciplines those whom we love. All right. But when it comes to hearing God's voice, in my home, all right, in my home, I often need to lead from behind. All right. Like a swimmer. All right. But in the kingdom, the shepherd loves to lead from the front. Okay. He moves out from amongst or ahead of his own, and then through his voice, he brings them out. That's amazing. There's one or two things here which is obvious, but it needs to be stated so that we can hear it. The shepherd speaks. The shepherd speaks. And he's got a voice. The sheep, that is us, we are able to hear. Okay, when I was young, teachers would often ask me, "Het jy ore?" Okay, "Kan jy hoor?" Okay, now in the kingdom, let me tell you this, there's good news. Jy het ore. You can hear, all right? You are able to hear his voice. Isn't that amazing? You are not a chest piece or a garden piece. You are alive in your ears. You can hear him, and then you can reposition. You can move. You can follow his lead. It's amazing to think about that. If you close your eyes and open your heart, there's a God that loves to communicate to you. And I would say this, the problem is not with God's ability to speak. It is with our readiness to hear. And often, then, step two, it's not that we cannot hear his voice. It's that we are not ready to follow him to where he is leading us, because we now have a different thing in our mind. But we'll get to that. He speaks, we can hear, we can follow. Then there is also other voices. Now what this scripture is telling us, as Jesus puts these three thoughts together, or three verses, he's saying there is competing voices on our hearts. Okay? And in this little section, it is likened to strange voices. And what the scripture says is those who know him, who grows nearer to him, they get better at recognizing, is this him or is this a stranger? Can you see that? All right. But I do want to say this as we start. In a world with so much noise, it gets harder and harder to discern the voice of strangers and the voice of the Lord. And that is why I'm here this morning and just wanting to reflect on this. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, the scripture says. Now, who knows who this man is? We're going to talk about hearing the voice of God. Who knows this man? No one. Is there anyone here that used to be or have close family in the Seventh-day Adventist church? No one? So the Seventh-day Adventist group was initially called the Millerites. William Miller started out, a man with an honest heart, wanting to hear the voice of God and lead his people. He became the, maybe you could say, I don't know if he planned it, but he became the founder of the Seventh-day Adventist Church. He heard something, and who knows, I'm just doing some Q&A here, who knows, and I'm asking the questions, who knows what the great disappointment is? Okay, now you're going to know. You're going to be very smart of this morning. Let's go to the next slide. William Miller predicted the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ on the 22nd of October, 1944. And the Millerites, his disciples, which became the Seventh-day Adventists, followed him out to a rock on his farm to await the coming of the Lord. Because he heard, or he thought he heard, the voice of God. And with conviction, he preached. He had maps that he made out of the prophecy out of the book of Exodus. And it's incredible that he would stake his life on that, because the scripture was not intended to be used in that way. But he staked everything he had on that. His people sold their possessions. Farmers didn't put seed in the ground because Jesus is coming on that date. It was a great disappointment as they walked down the mountain and he did not come that day. And it's moments like the great disappointment that has made Christians wary of this topic, hearing the voice of God, hearing him speak, giving us guidance, because in this case, he thought he heard the voice of God, but it led to the great disappointment. Later on, instead of saying, listen, I was wrong, we should be here preaching the gospel, focusing on our task, there's a great task ahead of us to evangelize the world. Instead of doing that, they said, no. He did come, but in a different way in the heavens. And now Jesus is setting off. There's a new dispensation of the way he's interceding for us in heaven. And along came a woman called Helen G. White, which acted as a prophet, and they started the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It is important for us to discern, for we are able to lead ourselves astray and those around us. This is why it's a very important topic for us. Now let's get into it a little bit. When we talk about the Word of God, Scripture generally gives us two ways, okay? Two natures. The one is the Logos, Word of God, if we go to the next slide, and it refers to the total inspired written Word of God, and to also to Jesus. He is the Logos, the Word that became flesh. All right. So the life of Jesus captured in the Bible we hold in our hands, that is the Logos, Word of God. It is written. It is true. It is unfallible. And everything we need to know about God, his love for us, our journey with him, and everything we need to know is right there. In your Bible. You could say your Bible is the Logos if you want to. And then we have the Rhema, which refers to the spoken word. Or Rhema literally means an utterance. Something is whispered to you, said to you. Now, when it comes to Rhema, you don't need to hear a word to receive Rhema communication. Because I could say, Dylan would know exactly what I mean. I could say, okay, and he'd know I'd want a coffee, okay, because he knows me. So I didn't speak a word, but there was communication. All right, are you with me? And so in a similar way, sometimes God can speak to us through an utterance on the heart, sometimes through a word of a friend. If it's not in the Bible, but it comes to us, and we are discerning whether it is from God or not, we are discerning a Rhema word. Lord, are you coming specifically to give guidance to me in an area of my life? So where the Logos word is written and final, one could say it is the final word of God. The Rhema word can still come and specifically give guidance in your life, because the Bible will not tell you whether you should buy a car that's this high or that high, whether you should buy a 3-bedroom home for your family or a 4-bedroom. You won't get that there, all right? But you can still ask him for guidance. And so when you find peace on a decision on earth, should you move here, should you move there, should you work here, should you work there, and you consult him and you ask him, you are asking him to speak the Rhema word into your life. Are you with me? Right. Now, one way to think about this, and this is where the Millerites, or William Miller, make a big mistake, is the Rhema word of God, the God that speaks, hearing his voice, is like a river that can move, that is flexible. It can be heard in the heart, in the ear. Sometimes we receive it with joy, sometimes with sadness, but it's like a river that flows between two banks. And the banks of this river, the banks of the Rhema word, or its edges, should be confined without what we know, what we have learned about the Logos. All right? Prophetic word should be in alignment or within the scope of what we have come to learn from the Bible. If it is in a contradiction, then it means that we might think we are hearing God, but it is not Him at this moment because it is in contradiction with what is known about Him. So William Miller had a Rhema word, Jesus is coming back. But when we read the New Testament, we hear Jesus say, listen, no one knows the day, no one knows the hour. That is not what's important. What is important is this gospel should be proclaimed. Okay? So coming with a prediction about when Jesus is coming back, it's very easy to say, but this does not align with what Scripture tells us about the end times. We will not know. Therefore, let's use our energies in a different way. Okay, so that's how the Rhema should be able to flow in the Logos. Are you with me this morning? Yes. Right. Here is a good example for us. Then I said, oh Lord, behold, the prophets say to them, you shall not see the sword. This is a prophet that prophesied Jeremiah. You shall not see the sword. Nor shall you have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying lies in my name. I did not send them, nor did I command them to speak them. So we must be very careful. Here we've got an example of a prophet that prophesied. Oh, he prophesied good times, but God was not done with his discipline. Okay, so even in the Bible, we get this example of a prophet being out of line. And today, it is chaos. Because there's no prophecies out there that says God's going to get into your character and He's going to help you work with discipline and sort out your stubborn heart. We don't hear that. And that is a lot more biblical than just putting prophecies on people like you will be prospered this year. It can plainly just be a lie. We must be very careful in the times we live. Because it sounds a lot like what we are seeing here in Jeremiah. We don't hear as much a Rhema words, God is coming for your heart this year, and He's going to maybe touch some things that's idols in your life so that you will be nearer to Him than ever before. We don't hear words like that. Yet it is more biblical. Like a lot of the things that the one-liners that's being thrown on us. Too blessed to be stressed, you know. It's such a shallow godliness that we are dealing with at the moment. And we must be very aware. What is the heart of God here? What does He want for your life? It is something with substance. It carries weight. It is sacred. It is beautiful. And we definitely live in the times of Jeremiah 14. Where a lot of shallow prophets are putting out prophecies for you to pick up, but it might not be the Lord. Are you with me this morning? Hearing the voice of God. Let's go on. Beloved, do not believe every spirit. It means do not believe every prophecy, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. Many false prophets have gone out into the world, and they have become more. Okay. The first test, we spoke about it, is the Logos. It is the Bible. So the first is, as we have said before, now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a different gospel, contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. Now, here's what's easy and here's what's hard. Certain things in the Bible is easy to get and easy to understand. It is prescriptive to us. It's, for example, do not steal. Okay? It's prescriptive. It has stand the test of time. It was a temptation to lie 400 years before Christ. It is a temptation to lie 2,000 years after Christ. It stays the same. But whether one should use a projector or give it a transparent, I don't even know what that is in English, whether we should have sound, these things are not in the Bible. So for that, we need to go to God for guidance, right? Now, what's important with this, with knowing the word, is that my heart for you, or for us, is that we are a Bible-believing church, not a Bible-believing pastor, right? We are eating the word as individuals and learning to hear his voice more and more, instead of coming to the church and then the pastor will tell me what to do, right? And so the encouragement with this is that you need to get into your Bible and get to love it and enjoy it and read it. Now, if we look at a verse like this, Mark 12:31, the second is this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. And you compare it to Exodus 20:15, you shall not steal. You see two ways the bank of this river runs. On the one side, it's quite clear cut. You shall not steal, you shall not lie, you'll have no idols. That's easy. It's prescriptive. It's very direct. But then, often when we come to the New Testament, Jesus gives us the spirit of the letter. He gives us the spirit of his kingdom, or one could say the heart of his message. You shall love your neighbor. Now, that's not as clear cut as you shall not steal. For example, let's say I see my friend Vianier speaking to his wife in a disrespectful way. I've never seen you do that, just for the record, okay? Is it love for me to confront them directly, or is it love for me to pray about it first? You know, both can be right. Are you with me? So loving your neighbor is a little bit more complex than do not steal. And that's what makes it hard. And that's why relationship with the Lord, the relationship with the Holy Spirit is important, because a lot of the guidance given to us gives us a spirit or the posture of the word. So when I have to deal with a situation, I would maybe ask myself, Lord, I'm mad at Vian because of the way he spoke to his wife. And so actually, I just want to pick up the phone and tell him he's a bad husband. But if I look at my own motives, maybe let me just wait another few hours. Help me, I'm going to pray about this and get to a place where I just have peace with you and think about it again. And then the Lord maybe says to me on my heart, phone your brother and tell him that you love him and that you are praying for their marriage. You know, so when it comes to taking the posture of the letter, sometimes we have to work with our hearts and then we'll hear clearly. Are you with me? It's not as clear cut. It's clear, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, but to apply it takes prayer, and we'll get to point number two, friendship and maybe help. What? I remember when we were newly married, my wife made me a little notebook for my Bible study. It had this verse, Jeremiah 15:16 on it. Your words were found, and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord of hosts. And I had it as one of the dearest verses on my life. And through the years, I have learned that those who fall in love with God's word tend to hear his voice in a clearer manner. Those who love to read and reflect and pray about his word for us, they tend to hear his guidance. First test is the Bible. What this person is prophesying over you, telling you, does this line up with the Bible and the life of Jesus? Very important. Let's go on. Oh no, let me first tell you the story. So, you know what? The in Mpumalanga and those areas, you've got a lot more charismatic Afrikaans churches than you have in the Western Cape. In the Western Cape, like the charismatic churches is English, and the traditional churches are Afrikaans. And I must tell you, these Afrikaans charismatic churches, I've gotten to love them because they are really, they've got the funniest stories. And I just imagine, let me just tell you the story. So, the Volle Evangelica, right, the charismatic church Afrikaans, and they've got the best story. So, my pastor, well not my pastor, the pastor in Secunda, his senior, okay, so it was not around his desk, but his senior had a man that came to him at his office with a word. Okay, we're talking about hearing God's voice. And the word was, "Pastor, I want you to pray for me because I have heard on my heart that God said I must divorce my wife and marry my secretary because my wife do not understand my calling." Now here comes the justification. "I am sold out for the Lord, but my wife does not understand that. And she's now holding me back. And the word I received is I must divorce my wife and marry my secretary. She really understands my calling in the Lord, you know. And so I'm not here to ask you permission. I'm just here to ask you to pray for me. Because I heard the voice of God." And so this is one of the smartest pastors I know. And then the pastor said, 100%, let's pray. Let's close our eyes. And so when they closed their eyes, the pastor got up and he slapped the man on the cheek. Bah! As hard as he could. And the man said, What did you do? He said, "No, when I closed my eyes, God said to me, slap this man that he can wake up." And so I was just obedient. It's one of the best stories. I think in this case, the pastor actually heard the voice of the Lord. The second test is the church. And when I say the church, I don't mean the building or the floor. I mean the people. Let's go on. This is Solomon, according to the Bible, one of the smartest, if not the smartest person who lived. "Where there is no guidance, people falls, but in an abundance of counselors, there's safety. Without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed." These two things that I want you to note, if it's not that applicable to you, note this for your children and your grandchildren. The world we are living in now are pushing our children away from this. Right now, my wife and I, we were actually watching Survivor, one that played off recently, and everyone at this moment is trying to represent people. And the one person stood up and he said, "This is my pride. I am celebrating and representing, listen up, strong and independent woman. My goal is that every woman will know they don't need anyone." And everyone claps their hands. Wonderful. Now, in one sense, we hear what the people are trying. We hear the cries. People have been oppressed. That's right. But Scripture says no, not independence, interdependence. We need one another. I am here to celebrate the fact that I am not independent, but rely on you for your prayers, for community, for guidance, for help, for love, for the sharing of wonderful things in this world, the sharing of a cup of coffee, the sharing of a birth of a child, the sharing of a prayer request. Did I hear God's voice right here? What do you think? I don't want to be independent. I want to be interdependent. I want you in my life. I want you a part of my life. That's why I am a part of a small group, and you should be. That's the first thing. Know this. The world is pushing people away from healthy community. A while back, 100 years back, maybe even less, it was honorable. It was honorable to say, you know what? I want to do this right now. But for the sake of the health of my family, my community, I think the wise thing for me is to rather do this to help and serve my family. Things have changed. The world is teaching people to say, no, you know what? My family, they want me to do this and this, but I will show them I am my own person and I will do what I want to do. It has shifted tremendously. Be aware, that is what's playing off around us at the moment. And what it happens to those, it's not, the example I mentioned was on women. Strong, independent women. But the challenge here is that we get independent and lonely, depressed people. Suicide rates have gone through the roof. It's never been as high. I'm independent and depressed. I'm alone. I'm forsaken. God has given us a family so that we can be surrounded and loved. Amen? The second thing that the world wants you to do is find a tribe that thinks exactly like you. This is a sad thing that happened to a friend of mine, but this happened. They extracted themselves into a society, a culture, in the woods somewhere, and they will only talk and relate with people who share their exact beliefs. So it has become a toxic pot. You only talk to the mountain that will reflect what you are saying. You call it an echo chamber, right? Okay? Very dangerous. Very dangerous. You need friends that's not like you. If you are a senior, you need young people in your life. If you are young, you need seniors in your life. That's why you have a thing such as a grandpa. You need grandpa. He's been around a few blocks. Amen. Very important. But some came down from Judea. Listen to Paul. Teaching the brothers, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. And after Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and debate with them, Paul and Barnabas and some of the others were appointed to go to Jerusalem to the apostles and the elders about this question. What do you guys think? We had no small dissension. We had conflict. I feel this. My brother feel that. What do you think? Come and help us. Not independence, interdependence. Not solo, team. And then the body of Christ can work. Let me tell you three reasons why people don't get counsel. We are talking about hearing the voice of God. Firstly, it's the Bible, the Logos. It is the walls in which the prophetic should flow, or the Rhema should flow, all right? If there's a stream outside the words of the Bible, watch out. Just watch out. If it sounds weird, if someone says, I've got a message this morning, I want to preach to you, it has never been heard before, watch out. The Bible has been here a long time. If it's so unique, it's never been heard, just watch out. Three reasons people don't want to hear, or they don't get counsel in the healthy body of Christ, is number one, because they are new to the faith. And we haven't taught them yet. God wants you to have siblings in the faith, brothers, sisters, mothers, fathers. They are your family. They are your team. They are here to help you, counsel you, and love you. Because most students, not most, that was a lie, 10% of them in Stellenbosch that comes to faith, at one stage have a thought or a desire, or they think it's the Lord that says, cancel your studies in your final year and become a missionary. It's a thought that's prevalent. And most of the time, as a rule of thumb, in Stellenbosch, we would strongly advise, finish what you have started. Take a breath here from the Lord. It might be, but we can be wrong. Amen? We can be wrong. We can hear. The Word of God is infallible, but our ability to hear is fallible. The first reason we don't hear is sometimes we are young and we didn't know this, but now you do. The second thing is that we are prideful. We are full of pride. I am independent. No one will tell me what to do. But watch out. Pain is coming to a town near you. The third reason is you actually know that what you are hearing is not from the Lord and it's a bad decision. But right now you want to make the bad decision. Right now, you'd rather make the bad decision and deal with the consequences. And so it's just disobedience. Those are probably the reasons. But God asks us to soften our hearts. You know, the English people, they're more respectful. They'll say, to good advice, they'll say, I'll think about that. The Afrikaans people will say, jy sê nie vir my nie. I joke about this, but it's true. Wie is jy? I'm someone that cares and loves and want to invest into your life. The Word of God as the banks of a river, the people of God, the carriers of the faith to help you to look over your life. When you're emotional about something, especially if you are tired and if you're at your end, it's so hard. It's so hard to discern the right thing. That's when you call in the brothers. For as in one body, we have many members, and the members don't all have the same function. So we, though many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another, having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Let us use them, if prophecy, in proportion to our faith. It is much better, brother and sister, if you feel something on your heart, to go to someone that you trust and ask them, what do you feel on this, instead of telling? Because it communicates humility and interdependence. I think I'm hearing this on my heart. Won't you also pray about this and just tell me what the Lord lays on your heart? That's a good posture. Now we can hear. The church. And then the last one. Oh, my time's running out. I'm having a blast here. I'm having a good time. Feels like I'm spending time with family. I'm going to make you mad with this one. Sorry, but there's forgiveness in the kingdom. Amen. I need to say that a lot this morning. It's the shape test. And it speaks on how you were made. The fact that there's no one quite like you. Created, designed, and put together. And Psalm 139 speaks on the fact that you were woven together by God, planned. You know, God knew he was going to make me with big ears. They look better now that I'm taller, but when I was young, they were really big. Even that, you know, he knew that. Everything about you, physically, even your organs. Some of us, we've got a high blood pressure. God knows about that also, all right? In heaven, that'll be sorted out. Amen. I knie, I rug, I alles, you know. Your emotional anatomy, stuff that makes you cry, stuff that makes you laugh. You know, I've got a problem. I've got a very easily excited sense of humor. So sometimes when I'm in an audience, people tell an inappropriate joke and it's hard for me. You know, I need to go afterwards and say that was not really appropriate. But my first problem is I laugh. I'm made like that. It's maybe to help me get through life. But you are made in a way. It's your shape. God made you. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You were made for certain things. Let me just say this. There are works prepared for you, and there are works not prepared for you. And there will be times when you are required to do things you don't like, but there are also times when you will feel you are called to something and the community, your friends, should tell you no. That's when the body comes together. Ephesians speaks about it. Let's read it. I think it's on the next slide. He gave some to be apostles, prophets. Let's go down to verse 15. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way. There's times when the body around you should speak in love and say no. Do you know when you know someone is nice, strong, and independent? Have you seen the idol's wooden spoon? Who knows what the idol's wooden spoon is? It's only me. They make jokes of all the people that comes for singing auditions that cannot sing. And they put them on international television so that people can laugh. That's a sign of your nice, strong independence. Because if you were interdependent, if you have friends, they would tell you, no. They are setting you up. You are a lamb to the slaughter. You're going to go in there and sing your heart out. Who told you you can sing it? You're going to sing Bohemian Rhapsody? Are you crazy? You're going to get there, and they're going to make a laughing stock out of you. Yep, every year there's people there, and they just lamb to the slaughter. Now, we're having fun with us, but here's the thing. Sometimes we hear things that's not true about our shape. Because there's sometimes there's stuff in us that we always want the journey given to another person. Right? We want to walk like that person. And then sometimes we need those from the outside that can see us better and say, but this is what you are called for. You are so good. I speak to a person in this church. He's not here today, so I can say it. I'm not going to say his name. Every week, he tells me he wants to be more like his brother, who does this and this in ministry. And then every week I need to say, but what is God doing in your life? He has shaped your brother to walk in his calling, and he's shaping you to walk in your calling. The shape test is important. And we thank God for it, because the shape test means that all of us, praise the Lord, are not singing in front of a church, because that'll be painful. You know, this is my favorite one. Some of us are prison singers. Do you know what a prison singer is? You're always a few bars behind, and you never have a right key. Okay, so when you go, okay, when you go for the worship audition, okay, and Hendrik says, "Wow, don't you want to be on the coffee team?" All right, then you know. When it comes to your shape, there might be other gifts. Now, we always have fun with that. But I just want to tell this about you. You are shaped by God. You are shaped by Him. And hearing God's voice, we can go to that next slide. If we look at that already, we're getting strength in the question, is this you, Lord? Is this you? We're getting strength. What does the Word say? What does my brother say, those who love me? We are so blessed in this church. If you are under 40, I want to tell you, when we planted the church in Secunda, I was the oldest member in the church at 28. After 2 years, the oldest member in the church was 35. Here, you've got wisdom. You've got a family. Go and sit by the feet of some of the lovely people here. They are here, the church. The shape test. Your family will tell you quickly whether you should do something or not. Your good friends maybe you should ask your friends, because they'll come in softer. You know what? Maybe you're better at this or that area. I had some fun this morning. We made some jokes, but this is very important. Right now, there's a friend I know of someone who I believe is making a very bad decision for their family. Very bad. Very, very bad. They don't live here in this town. If this was mildly applied, it would have saved them a lot of tears. As we worship Him, as we hear His voice, let us use what He has given us, one another, His word. Look at yourself. What has people told you about what you are good at over the years? Work with God, what God has given you. Enjoy it. Have peace in it. Accept it. Make a peace. Some of us have to make a peace with who you are. And start to enjoy it, because we are already enjoying you. You must just start to enjoy your own calling as well. Amen? It is better to move from the Logos into the Rhema. It's better to sit on the Word of God, eat it, and take it into your life to become specific, than trying to read into the Word many things we have heard all over the place. It's better to start with the Word and live into the Rhema than the other way around. That gets us into trouble. Ask William Miller. Start with the Word. Eat it. Digest it. Know it. Walk out from your room into the world. Apply. Hear the leading. Hear His voice. Obey. If in doubt, obey and do it. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As you hear His voice, church, obey and enjoy every moment of it. We have communion, but we'll keep that for next week, or the next congregation won't have time to come in. What I want us to do is let's stand up this morning. Let's stand up this morning and let's just respond to this. Each one individually. Can we have that 3 points on there? If God wills, then I will carry on to test 4, 5, 6 next time. There's something that the Lord is whispering on my heart that's a little bit uncomfortable for me, but the same message comes back. You know, if it's like a boomerang and you throw it out and it comes back, it might be God, okay? It's the boomerang tests next time. There's not really a test like that, but it's something that will cost me something. But it's so simple, it's so easy to obey. And it keeps on coming back to me. And I realize in preparing for this, the challenge is not hearing, the challenge is obeying. And I realize for myself, if I want to hear His voice in very deep ways and obey and respond, then I have to be able to respond to the simple things He tells me. Okay? And the same is true for you. Don't neglect the small whispers you hear from Him. Ask forgiveness for that person. Be generous here. Obey me in this area. Serve in that area. These small things, they might sound very practical, but if it's from God, it's spiritual when you obey. Father, as we come as a church before You this morning, we are just thinking of You and how You speak and how lovely You are and how much You love us. In a noisy world, Lord, what a relief to know that You whisper to us at our desks when we work, in our vehicles when we drive, on the pavement when we walk, in our chairs when we sit, at the basin when we do the dishes. The God who speaks. And I pray, Lord, that for each and every person, that their personal relationship with You will grow. I want to ask you while you are standing, what is He whispering to you this morning, or maybe the last week? Maybe you've had something similar to me, just hearing a whisper from Him, just a reminder. What is He saying to you? What a privilege to hear His voice. And what a joy to be able to obey. What is He saying to you? What is He whispering to you? Maybe where you are standing, you can just pray to Him about it and make a commitment. Say, Lord, I need to obey in this area. I need to respond in that area. Maybe you've been taken by sway to the left and to the right by listening too much to podcasts and YouTubes and prophecies and being a little bit light on the Word. Maybe that's a good area to obey first and get into the Word for yourself to rightly divide the Word. And then ask, Lord, speak to me. Thank you, Lord, that you will work with each and every one that are your children, shaped by you and loved dearly by you. And I pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. We would love you to grab a cup of coffee on the outside. I'm going to hang in front here with some facilitators. If you've got a prayer request, anything on this topic, or just want someone to pray with you, we'll be here. God bless you and see you next week.
Yeah.